When I was in my 20s, my first full-time job, I think most of you know, was as a minister of music in a large Presbyterian church in Cincinnati, Ohio. I was a newly recommitted Christian at that time. I was filled to overflowing with joy. Now, my choir at that church flourished. It grew so large that we did not have enough seats in the choir loft. And so we had to establish a waiting list for people to join the choir, including my own wife, who had to wait 6 years to get into the choir. I heard about that. I was young, I was excited, I was thriving, and I was feeling on top of the world. Another word for it is cocky. And God had to deal with that in my life. One night at choir rehearsal, we were singing "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." And I was giving a wonderful teaching on the power and the authority, the character and the integrity of the name of God. I was hoping to inspire the singers to sing even better. But a young man raised his hand on the back row from the tenor section. Why is it always tenors here? And he said, "Harry, excuse me, but what is a diadem?" And I said, a diadem? I knew that word sounded familiar, and I wondered what it was. And he said, "Well, we just sang about it. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all." "Oh, that diadem." I was still clueless. A deer in the headlights. I had no idea what a diadem was. And then my ignorance was suddenly on display for everyone. How embarrassing. As I stammered a bit, somebody spoke up and they said, "I think a diadem is some type of crown." Well, at least everyone else in the room was ignorant, as I was at the moment, because no one either confirmed or denied that a diadem was some type of a crown. Which it is, by the way. But I was very red-faced, and I said, "I'll get the answer for you next week." And during that week, I began to wonder about what other words or terms might come up in future anthems that would shine a light on my ignorance. And one word quickly made an appearance. And it was a word that comes from the hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." Now, in the hymnal that we use here, which is a more modern hymnal, the second verse of the hymn states it this way: "Hither to thy love has blessed me. Thou hast brought me to this place. Thou hast brought me to this place." But there is an asterisk in the hymnal that says this is not the way the original text was written. They had modernized it. The way I learned it in the Presbyterian hymnal years ago, and the way which many of you learned it, I'm sure, in your past, was this: "Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither to thy help I'm come." My what? My Ebenezer. Harry, what's an Ebenezer? Now, I won't ask for a show of hands, because I'm sure that there are some here who know what an Ebenezer is. Or at least you used to, and you can't quite remember at this moment. Here is the answer. It is found in 1 Samuel chapter 7, and this describes a military victory. The Jews have been fighting the Philistines, and I'm reading from verse 11. "The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone, and he set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and he named it Ebenezer, saying, 'Thus far has the Lord helped us.'" Why did Samuel name that stone Ebenezer? Because the original Hebrew word means stone of help. But there's a little bit more to the story. the battle with the Philistines and the Jews was over the Ark of the Covenant. The Philistines had it, and the Jews wanted it back. And where did the Philistines have the Ark of the Covenant? They had it in a town by the name of Ebenezer. So this word has rich meaning for the Jews in their history, of course, and for a host of churches who have chosen to call themselves by that name. In fact, over there in Sykesville, just a stone's throw away, is Ebenezer Methodist Church on Woodbine Road. But perhaps the most famous of them is Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, which was the home church of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. It was in that church that he was baptized. It was in that church that he was ordained. It was in that church where he served as co-pastor with his father. Ebenezer, the Lord helped us. And you know what? He still does. Now, like it says in the second half of that same verse of the hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, it says, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He, to rescue me from danger, bought me with his precious blood. You cannot get any better help than that. Ebenezer. There are a number of words that come to mind when I think about that. One of them is the word grace. And that's how verse 3 of this hymn begins. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I am constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Sometimes my heart does indeed wander. Does yours? Sometimes, regardless of how much my mind knows about the positive power of the grace of the Almighty God, my weaknesses can allow me to drift into negative thinking. I know about God's light, but I still allow myself sometimes to go to dark places in my mind. Do you ever do that? Sometimes I cannot seem to stop thinking about the anxieties that surround me. Old tapes start playing in my head, and I want to sing Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen. Do you ever feel that way? I read a story about a woman who indeed felt that way. Her life was a mess. She became terribly depressed. Very early one morning before the sun rose, she got on an airplane to make a trip. She was flying from Dallas to her home in Chicago, flying south to north. And she was sitting on a window seat on the west side of the airplane. She said she rested her forehead against the glass and looked out the window as the plane ascended and the sun was beginning to rise and she could see the shadows playing on the landscape below her. And then the plane went through some dark, thick, heavy clouds. And she said that made her feel all the more depressed. But then something happened. Somebody on the east side of the airplane raised their window shade, and the sun was coming up on that side, and it started casting a red glow throughout the cabin, and it came across the aisle and it touched her face and got her attention. And she said in an instant, she said, that light refreshed my soul and renewed something within me Then she looked back out of her window, and it was still predominantly dark. She said she was so wrapped up in looking at the darkness that she did not even realize that there was light on the other side of the plain. Light that was glowing in a beautiful way. And then it hit her. She said, I could easily make a list of all of my problems and dwell on them. Or I could bathe in that morning light and make a list of all the help that God has given to me in my life. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I'm come. When I read that testimony, the first thing that came to my mind was a very familiar passage, Lamentations 3. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. How often do his compassions fail? How often do his compassions fail? I can't hear you. How often do his compassions fail? They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Where are you sitting? Are you on the east side of the plain or on the west side of the plain? Are you looking at the dark or are you looking at the light? Think about it. God even began his love for us with this. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And a few verses later it says, God made two great lights. The greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. God wants you to embrace his light. His faithfulness. His help. I love this little hidden gem of the Bible. It's found in Exodus 10, beginning in verse 21. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky so that the darkness will spread over Egypt. Darkness that can be felt. Have you ever felt darkness? Perhaps another word for it is depression. The next verse. So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and total darkness covered all Egypt for 3 days. No one could see anyone else or leave his place for 3 days. Listen. Yet all the Israelites had light in the places where they lived. Hallelujah! That is the God we serve. He is the God of light. He is not the God of darkness. He even led the Hebrews through the Exodus by giving them a pillar of fire at night so that they could see where they were going, and so that they could know that their Ebenezer was there to help them. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Psalm 112, even the darkness, even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. Isaiah 9, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, light has dawned. There are over 4,000 references to light in the scriptures. But I think this is the best one. John 8, Jesus spoke again to the people and said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I don't know about you, but I want to walk in that light. I do not want to walk in darkness. I want to sit on the east side of the plain. And I want to experience the glow of God's face shining upon me. I want to get His power even through the sunrise. I want to shout to the whole world, "Here I raise my Ebenezer." I want to shout to Japan, "Here I raise my Ebenezer." Now in the hymn, the very next line in verse 2 says, "And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home." I suppose that woman who was sitting in that airplane could have raised this prayer, "Lord, please get me safely to my destination. Please get me home." While she was belted into her seat in that airplane, she was trusting that pilot to get her to where she was going. But now think about the implication for us. "Lord, by thy good pleasure, may I reach heaven's gates, my eternal home." Where, according to Revelation 22, there will be no more light. We will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun. For the Lord God will give us light, and we will reign forever and ever. As you fly through this life, ladies and gentlemen, you can choose to look at the darkness, or you can choose to look into the light. Which do you want to look at? And when you look at the light, you can trust that your destination is secure. I know where I'm going. Do you? Look at all the people saying yes. Hallelujah. Your heavenly pilot knows where he's taking you and where he's helping you to arrive. As the psalmist says in Psalm 40, verse 2, "He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand." Thank God for his amazing grace that he has given you the rock on whom you can stand. You can name that rock, if you wish, Ebenezer. He is the light of the world. He is your help. He is your Ebenezer. The devil whispers in your ear, depression. The Holy Spirit whispers in your ear, hope. To whom are you listening? Just when you think everything is dark and dim, somebody's going to raise the shade and let that red glow come in and remind you that there is hope. When you allow yourself to gaze helplessly at your own navel, you need to remind yourself to look at your Creator God, to look to Jesus, to turn your eyes on Him. Now, there was a Scottish pastor by the name of Robert McKinney, and he said this, "For every look at yourself, take 10 looks at Christ." Earlier we read from 1 Peter verses 3 through 5. Here's the next verse. Verse 6. "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." Brothers and sisters, if you came here today with your eyes fixed on your problems, then you are allowing the darkness to consume you. If you leave here today with your eyes fixed on Jesus, then you're allowing Him to bathe you in His healing light. "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Heavenly Father, we are creatures of the flesh, and we can too easily look at life and be overwhelmed. But we are also creatures of your Spirit. May we look to Jesus, the light of the world, who tells us to be the light of the world. And may we bring hope wherever we go. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.